What is up, everybody, and welcome into Locked On Nuggets, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mattes from DNBR, where you can subscribe for $5 a month, get access to all of our premium content. Today's episode of the show brought to you, as always, by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off of your first order. Really delicious. Very tasty. For like a nutrition bar, they're like, tastes like a Snickers almost. Actually, I would say, has the like texture of like a Mounds. It's like super chewy, which I like. I'm a chewy kind of guy. Today's episode of the show, guys, got a lot of fun stuff here. Gonna go through sort of the different options. In segment one, I'm gonna go over the group play option and talk about why the NBA might go to a group play, what it would look like for the Denver Nuggets, and how I think they would fare in such a situation. In segment two, going to talk about the other options that are being proposed, including going just into a 1-16, sort of setup. How would Denver look? Who would they match up with, and sort of what are their odds? But first, let's get into this. First question is, why even mess with the format? Why not just play out the regular season and you start things up again and then go into it? Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, the NBA still, I know it feels almost in a lot of ways, it feels like this coronavirus pandemic is like, oh, it's over, it's in the past or whatever. There's still a lot of risks involved with the league bringing teams back and trying to finish out the season. So on the one hand, bringing 30 teams back, especially many teams that just don't have anything to play for, I think it would be, no matter how you slice it, would be a real sort of crapshoot. I mean, you would have a lot of teams and a lot of players that either don't want to come back, or if they were forced to come back, I just don't think you'd get a lot from them. Damian Lillard has, famously now gone on record saying, if I can't make it to the playoffs, if I have to come back but I have no shot at making the playoffs, I don't want to play. I'll be on the bench or whatever. So I think the NBA wants to avoid that. They want to be safe. Players are paid for regular season games. Here's the thing that's difficult. You calculate the BRI, you calculate how much revenue. Those 82 regular season games, there's a lot of local TV money, sponsorship money. There's a lot of things that go into the team playing the regular season. So if you cut those out, if you just say, well, why don't we just go to the postseason, since we pretty much know, and this is true, we pretty much know who's going to be in the postseason anyway. We probably didn't need those games anyway. But you cut off a lot of money. And I think, money not just for this year. I think if it was 1 year, I think players, owners, everybody would say, okay, bite the bullet. We all lose a little bit. But we go back into next year and all is well. But I don't think that's the case. I mean, I think we're looking at a situation where the NBA might have to take 2-4 years of sort of recovering from this. And not just the NBA. I think a lot of leagues might take a long time sort of to recover from, just all the loss of revenue and everything else. Who knows when next season will begin or how many games it'll have. So they want to maximize. They want to take advantage of every opportunity they have. So they want to get some quote unquote regular season games in there. Number two, it creates intrigue. I mean, first of all, there's two things you think about when you think about how to return to action here. Number one, you think about, well, I want the NBA to be fair. I want the teams, to have the proper chance that they would have had the regular season happened. We want everything to be as fair as possible. But then there's another side of this that says, well, we want it to be fun. How can we create the most fun and make the most money? And I think that when we talk about a group play, which I'll explain here in a minute, when we talk about some of these alternative options, first and foremost, they're very interesting. Whether you agree with them or not, or think there's whatever, they're just going to be, they would be fun. You would watch it. It might not be fair, but you would watch the heck out of it. The reason you would not want to do some one of these things, number one, is obvious. It feels even more gimmicky. I mean, let's be perfectly honest. I know everybody right now is preaching, especially my co-host, Matt Moore, let's not talk about asterisks. If we're going to play this season out, let's not talk about, oh, this season has an asterisk next to it. Now, first of all, I agree in spirit. Like, every team, the nature of sports are that you just compete at something. The rules, the playing field's the same for everybody. You compete, and then somebody wins. That being said, the NBA has done things a certain way for so long, and this season, no matter what you do, will be different. So if you just brought teams back, went straight into the postseason, and you played, I can understand saying, look, we're not going to talk about asterisks, we're not going to do this or that, but the truth of the matter is there would be at least a small, yeah, but that season was a little bit different. The same way we talk about 99, I don't think anybody I know discounts the San Antonio Spurs for winning in 1999, but the people do say, oh, but that was the lockout year, or just for, as it becomes a part of the story, that was a lockout year. Maybe it's just a footnote. But if you start adding in, okay, now there's pool play, now this team that actually probably would not have made it into the playoffs now has a chance to get in, like Washington, who's 8.5 games back, are they thrown into some sort of play-in tournament that would be fun and create intrigue? You know, now you start to just make those the case for adding an asterisk to this a lot higher. And I think that's the number one reason that you wouldn't do it, other than you just don't want to put too many teams in the bubble. So the NBA, to me, this isn't as cut and dry as a lot of people make it sound. There's pros and cons, and there's a lot of things that are trying to be in fairness, entertainment, and revenue. And it, you satisfy one, you sort of break with one of the others. So it's a no-win. But let's talk about the group play stage. I think to my European listeners, shouts Serbia, shouts everybody else all over Europe, I think this group play is sort of more natural. It doesn't sound that crazy to them, because we see this in the World Cup. We see this in some other leagues where, instead of just going into that bracket style, you know, survive in advance style of tournament, you have a group play. You have an initial pool of teams that are all in a play sort of a round robin style, and at the end of that group play, you sort of add up your wins and losses, and the top teams advance from that. So, first of all, this would be incredibly fun, as is the World Cup. You get excited when, first of all, every game matters. If you have a pool play, if you have group play, if you come right back and the first game you play is basically pool play, trying to see who gets into the playoffs, you're right into playoffs, and it's round robin, so you're playing a lot of different teams. It's not just like, okay, we got stuck with the most boring, you know, the Jazz, or, you know, some boring team that, oh, the Rockets. Now we're going to have to play the same thing for 4 to 7 games or whatever. No, instead, you got to beat the Clippers. Then you got to beat the Nets, and you got to beat the Pacers. It'd be really, really interesting, I think, to watch and exciting. And every single game, every single night would be so fascinating from an NBA perspective. So to me, this is far and away the most fun answer. It's also far and away the most gimmicky solution. So it's sort of the best and worst of both worlds, in my opinion. But there's no question that we would have an enormous amount of fun watching this. And maybe that's the important thing right now. You know, it's funny. If this was, you know, not something that was affecting the world, this coronavirus, it was just affecting the NBA, and it's like, oh man, it's too bad the NBA had a lockout, bring it back. That'd be one thing, but the whole world sort of like in their homes, burrowed away, you know, needing sort of this escape, to be able to bring back basketball and do it in this really, really fun way, when, let's be honest, the fairness of everything is already compromised, maybe compromising it twice as much isn't actually that much of a harm for how much fun it would be. And on top of that, maybe it leads to the league becoming a little bit more experimental in the future, and maybe this group play, pool play thing, you know, ends up sticking, and people are like, that was so much fun, let's do it every year. Remember, the All-Star game, people have pushed back at all of the little rules, the Elam ending this year. Remember, everybody thought, oh, that's dumb, it's going to be stupid. Turns out it created the most entertaining All-Star game we have seen in decades. There's a chance that this group play becomes so fun and so entertaining that we say, you know what, that's the way to do it going forward. Every first round of the playoffs should be pool play, and then you get seeded into the second round from there. I think I can absolutely see that. Then there's a question of how do you seed it? So the Ringer, Ringer.com, proposed that you would just look at the standings and then kind of snake draft everybody into a tier. So the tier, the top four teams, you would have four pools, and the top four teams would be the Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, and Clippers. They each are sort of the top one seed of their pools. Then you have a bunch of two seeds, of which the Nuggets fall, Nuggets, Celtics, Heat, and Jazz. They would be split up into those groups as well. So, you know, Clippers, Nuggets would be paired, Raptors, Celtics would be paired, Lakers, Heat, Bucks, Jazz. Then there's a, you know, quote-unquote three seeds. Those would go next, and you distribute those into each pool. Four seeds, five seeds, and now you have a five-man or a five-team grouping. And then each team would play each other twice. That would create a total of eight games. Remember, these 8 games represent sort of a combination of the first round of the playoffs and the end of the regular season. So these games would matter, and only the top two teams would advance. I think by doing it that way, that sort of snake style, I think that'd be really, really interesting. And for at least as far as seeding, it seems the most fair. The Bucks shouldn't have to play the top second tier team. They should have to play the worst one because they have the best record in the NBA. So on and so forth. To me, that makes the most sense. Another way you could do this is just try to random. This is how the World Cup does it. There's kind of randomly, like, all right, names in a blender, spit it out, who's where. The problem with this, and then you have this in soccer, you always have a group of death. You always have one group that's just significantly more difficult to get through than every other grouping. So I think it seems pretty obvious that that would be a bad decision by the NBA, but who knows? Maybe they want the chaos. I doubt it. I think the NBA really wants, more than anything, LeBron James to be on the screen, on the TV for as long as possible. Number three, maybe partially random based on tier. So maybe rather than a straight snake, maybe it's like, okay, the top teams are all in one, the second tier teams are all in, you know, all split up, third tier, so forth. But it's not snake order, which I think makes sense. It's not, it doesn't have to be like, you know, the difference between the seventh and eighth best team is not that big of a deal, and so on and so forth. So splitting that up, I don't think is that big of a deal. The last one, and this one I think probably the least likely, but maybe the most fun, would be a schoolyard pick. What if you gave the Bucks, Lakers, Raptors, and Clippers their choice of picking their teams? And it goes like that. Bucks, you have the number one pick. Who do you want in your bracket the most? And you could look around and maybe you say, ooh, the Sacramento Kings or Orlando Magic. They get the first pick. To me, that would be a lot of fun. Now, I don't think the NBA would do this because it puts the players into a tough spot. But if you want to talk about generating revenues, how else do you create bad blood than having teams pick their opponents? To me, this would be a lot of fun, even if I don't think it's going to happen. On the other side, we're going to look at what the Denver Nuggets would look like in such a setting. They would be that second-tiered team, so it'd be interesting to kind of look at them and say, okay, how do they stack up against some of these other great teams? But before we get there, just want to remind you, Built Bar, the reason you're listening to this right now is because of the sponsorship and contributions of Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You get $10 off your first order. And they have great flavors in there, banana, chocolate, coconut, strawberry, lots of good stuff in there. So check them out. We'll be back on the other side. Back here on the Locked On Nuggets podcast. So let's talk about the group play. First of all, it'd be incredibly tough. And I was thinking about this. The Nuggets getting out of, you know, the sort of first round of the playoffs, really, would be tough no matter what. I mean, currently, if you're just talking about a regular bracket, the Nuggets would be in, you know, up against the Rockets right now. So Denver's odds of coming out of just the first round of the playoffs this year are probably close to 50-50. That is to say, it's not a given. So when we look at this and say, man, I don't know if Denver would advance from the, you know, the pool stage of this and get to that Elite Eight of the NBA, well, I think that's just generally true of the Nuggets anyway. You know, I think they're one of the eight best teams, but there's certainly matchups of teams below them that are going to be tough. But if we get into this snake style that the Ringer prepared for everybody, you look at the Clippers would be the one seed in Denver's group. The Nuggets would be the two seed. The Pacers would be the third seed. We're going to talk about them a lot in the next just in a minute. Then you'd have the Nets and the Kings, which basically play spoiler. I don't think the Nets or the Kings could finish in a top two of that group. But boy, could they really, really ruin things. So again, this would be fascinating. I don't think any of those games are gimme against for the Nuggets. They famously have been really bad against the Nets. They famously have been really struggled against the Kings. Clippers are just a tough team, and Pacers are just a tough team. So I think the Nuggets would have their hands full, even though I think their odds, if you handicapped it, I think their odds would be second best to come out of that outside of the Clippers. So what would happen in that one? I think, first of all, I think you probably split or go 0-2 against the Clippers. I would say split. I think the Nuggets would split against the Clippers. The Clippers are good. It's such an interesting matchup with Jokic and them not having any size, but then Kawhi and Paul George and Denver not having length on the wing on the wings. So it'd be an interesting matchup, but I think Denver would end up splitting. But it's possible they'd go 0-2. It's possible they'd go 2-0. It'd be a fascinating matchup, and boy, could they make some waves if they were to go 2-0 against a Clippers team in a pool like that. I think you go over to Indiana. And I think that they probably split. I know a lot of Nuggets fans aren't going to like this, but I think the Pacers are very good. And if you go back, they're the Nuggets of the Eastern Conference. And if you go back and look at the games that happened this year, Michael Porter Jr. had what I think was probably his best game of his career, of this season, and helped them to get a win. And then they had a loss, a game in which I think they were missing Millsap, Harris, and Murray. So it's a very shorthanded Nuggets team, although the Pacers were missing Oladipo for most of the year, including that game. So who knows? I think it'd be so random. There'd be so many variables you wouldn't know. But Domantas Sabonis has given Jokic a hard time. Jokic has really murdered Miles Turner. But with the rise of Domantas Sabonis and with Indiana's willingness to sort of play him in front of Miles Turner at the center spot, they play together a lot. But just to say, you know what? Turner, Jokic just abuses Turner. Why don't we go with Sabonis? That's a player that, in my opinion, Jokic hasn't quite figured out yet. Over the course of a seven-game series, maybe he would. But I think if you only get two games, especially, I don't know if these games would be, you know, if Denver's schedule would be Clippers, Pacers, Nets, Kings, Clippers, Pacers, Nets, Kings, you know, something like that. Or if it would be Clippers, Clippers, Pacers, Pacers, Nets, Nets, Kings, Kings. That, to me, would be kind of be an interesting distinction because then it would feel more like a series of two-game sort of series, playoff series. But I don't know what the league would want to do there. But I think Denver would go 1-1. So you're looking at Denver being either 2-2 or 1-3, in my opinion, against the Clippers and Pacers. And then you go to the Nets and Kings. The question, and I think what it would come down to for the Nuggets on whether or not they would advance, can they go 4-0 against those teams? They are significantly better than both the Nets and the Kings, but can they go 4-0? And Denver famously has not played well against the weaker competition in the NBA, and they struggle with teams with like this, that play a spread pick and roll like the Nets do, like Spencer Dinwiddie and his speedy sort of pick and roll play, like De'Aaron Fox and his sort of speedy pick and roll play. So to me, in a weird way, even though I don't think this grouping here's my famous phrase, in a vacuum is the toughest one. It's not the group of death, but I do think that they match up a little bit difficult for Denver to advance. That being said, I still think Denver would be the second team to beat in that. I still would pick them to come out of that pairing, and I still think that they're the better team than all those teams. I mean, the Pacers also could very well lose to the Nets and Kings, very well could lose to the Clippers too, you know, both games. So I think everything I've said that's true of Denver is going to be true of Indiana as well. But boy, would that be fun, and boy, would it be interesting. There's also a chance that the NBA could just say, you know what, let's do group play, but only for the bottom, you know, teams. If you look at the standings right now in the NBA, the Orlando Magic have basically the same record as the Memphis Grizzlies, the Portland Trail Blazers, New Orleans Pelicans, Sacramento Kings, and maybe even the Spurs. Once you get to the Spurs, you start, you know, even though it's only half game and full game of this or that, you start to maybe get too far below the threshold. But maybe the NBA says, you know, we want some exhibition games, but we also want a few meaningful ones, and we want, all right, let's be honest, we want Zion Williamson back in this bubble playing. We want Damian Lillard back and playing. So maybe you throw all of those two teams or all of those teams into it, one of these group plays, and you say, you know what? Top two teams that come out of this, you guys get the final two spots in the playoffs. 1-7 in each conference is pretty set. The Mavericks are 7 games ahead of the Grizzlies from the 7 to the 8 seed in the Western Conference. The Nets are, let's see here, how many games here? The Nets are only a half game, so it's a lot more interesting there. Maybe the Nets can be thrown into this as well, so that they're sort of in there and you're opening it up for the final three spots. But something like that, you could maybe talk people into. I think if you're an Orlando Magic fan or a Brooklyn Nets fan or a Memphis Grizzlies fan, you say, okay, well, this is really not fair. And if Denver was in that spot and Denver was, you know, comfortably in the 8th seed in the Western Conference, but people said, you know what, we want fun. Now you have to go back. And last year you could think it could have been the Lakers. Remember, LeBron missed all that time, then was healthy at the end of the year, but it was too late. You know, if this happened last year, I think Nuggets fans would be like, oh, really? You know, you made it into the playoffs, and now we have to go back and try to re-win and try to re-get into a spot. So, again, not at all fair, but maybe interesting. And you know what? I would watch the heck out of. I don't really want to watch the Spurs play the Kings, but I would watch the heck out of a Spurs, Kings, Pelicans, Blazers, Grizzlies, Magic, Nets, you know, fight to get into the playoffs and to compete. You know, maybe it's just round robin. Everybody plays one game. Nonetheless, I think that would be really, really fascinating. The last sort of option for the Nuggets here would be if you just go straight into the playoffs. And I think this is one that's maybe the most likely because I think it's the least gimmicky. But this one, the Nuggets would be matched up, as I mentioned, against the Houston Rockets. And then they would, should they advance, they would take on the winner of the Clippers and Mavs, almost certainly the Clippers. Should they advance through that one, they almost certainly would play the Lakers, and then after that, the Bucks. I think the three best teams in the NBA are the Clippers, Lakers, and Bucks in some order. So if you have to go through all of those teams to get to the to win a championship, to me, that would be a really, really tough break.
And then going through the Rockets in the first round, again, to me, that's a coin flip. I don't know that I would just hand that to Denver. On the flip side, if you were to seed every team in the NBA 1 through 16, I think you would actually have the Nuggets actually have a really interesting sort of slot going to the playoffs. The Nuggets are the sixth best record in the NBA. They would match up against the Pacers in the first round. Again, I think that's a lot closer. It's probably like a 52-48 series, maybe 55-45 at best. Pacers are really good. People get mad when I say this. Pacers are the Nuggets of the East. If you discount the Pacers, if you're like, oh, come on, the Pacers, this, that, the Pacers are just like Denver. They don't get any play by the national media. They don't have a star that is doing sneaker commercials and, you know, on billboards or whatever around the country. They don't have that guy, but you know what? Their record's really good. Their defense is really good. They have smart players. They play as a team. All the things we say about the Nuggets could be said of the Pacers. So before you go and say, oh, come on, Adam, 52-48 against that team, just remember, they are exactly what people say of the Nuggets, and it feels weird to me to discount them. That being said, Denver could win that series. That's not a no-hoper. I think Denver could and maybe slightly should win that one. And in this scenario, they would take on the Raptors, the third best record in the NBA, or the Grizzlies, the 14th best record in the NBA. And again, I think that's a really favorable sort of seeding. You avoid the Celtics and 76ers and Clippers and Bucks and Lakers and Rockets, the teams that I consider to be the most tough matchups for Denver. You avoid all of those ones and you get to play two rounds against teams that Denver can beat. I'm not sure they would beat, but they can beat. You remember that famous Raptors game. Denver scores, I think, 133-18. They won earlier in the year, the only game they played. And that was one of those games where the ball was popping. Jokic was distributing, doing his normal thing. I think there was like eight players in double figures. That's a fun matchup for the Nuggets. I would really, really be curious to see that one. So if the only thing you care about is the Nuggets advancing as far as they can in the playoffs, I think you are a fan of this 1 through 16 sort of bracket. Just seed them how they are now and go for it. You could combine the last version and this version and say, you know what, Magic and Nets, you guys aren't actually good. You're so far away from the rest of the field. You have to play in against those other teams, but those other teams get seeded in the 15 and 16 slot. I could see that happening, but that doesn't really affect the Nugget side of the bracket. That just allows them two games against beatable opponents before they would get to a semifinal that most likely would match them up against the Lakers. But if we're talking about a semifinal, basically a conference final, you're never getting an easy matchup in a conference final. So those are sort of the options. Let me know what you're, tweet at me. Let me know what you're favorite version of those are, because they're all pretty different, and for Denver specifically, they all lead to very, very different sort of matchups and probabilities of them advancing in the playoffs. It's really, really fascinating.